Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Goring, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baroness Orff's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel. Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring as Sir Percy Blakeney.
It was one of our lighter adventures, and it began at a state ball in Paris. One of those gay affairs that the Committee of Public Safety organized every now and then to distract attention from the horrors of the guillotine. Among those present were two prosperous merchants of the city. Ardent Republicans, of course. Citizen Pierre Lebas and his brother Jean. That is to say, Tony Dewhurst and myself. Both of us deriving considerable enjoyment from the occasion.
Quite a night, eh, brother Jean?
Oh, quite a night, brother Pierre. Everybody who is anybody.
To say nothing of the nobodies.
Yes, indeed.
And, of course, the news.
The gold, all cares, on with the dance.
Look, our old friend Chauvelin has to lead the minuet.
Well, fine figure of a man. Except, of course, for those legs.
Oh, those legs. He's making out to rechristen him Stingrash. Excellent. I just remembered.
Remembered what?
I just looked for this dance.
Oh, who do?
A very charming and beautiful young lady. The belle of the ball. Madame Erola.
You mean the wife of Vincent Erola?
One and the same. Deputy Chief Prosecutor of the State, member of the Committee of Public Safety. The most ambitious man in Paris, and reputedly the most jealous husband.
I'd be careful if I were you.
Oh, it's not Erola I'm scared of. It's Cecile.
Cecile?
Yes, his wife.
Oh, is he?
Oh, you wait till you see her. She's ravishing. Well, here I go.
Wish me luck, Tony. Be careful.
Be careful.
Dance well, Citizen Lazare.
Oh, and you divinely, Madame Erola. In fact, everything about you is divine. I'd be permitted to say that, in my opinion, you are the most beautiful woman in Paris.
Oh, you're such flattery, citizen.
I protest. I mean it, I swear.
Oh, come, c'est sans reste. You said the same to all your partners tonight. That's the truth now, isn't it?
I've had no other partners tonight, nor shall I.
Are you leaving so early?
No, not at all, but having danced with a gazelle... wishes to partner an elephant.
Oh, you say very pretty things, sir. But elephants, for shame. You must not say such things.
I speak the truth.
Oh, I do protest that you're less than kind to others present.
For me, there are no others present.
Are you flirting with me, citizen?
Madly. Do you mind?
No. No. I think I like it. Just a little.
Oh, no more than that?
Well, let us say a little more than a little.
When may I call on you?
Call on me?
Oh, tomorrow, perhaps, or the day after, at least. I couldn't bear to wait a moment longer.
No, no, no. I'm afraid that is not possible.
But I must see you again, I see you.
Oh, no, please.
You don't mean it. I do not believe it. You could not be so cruel.
You forget that I have a husband.
Oh, many women have husbands. It's very fit and proper they should, but what of it?
Well, it's... he's inclined to be jealous.
So would I be in his place, madly, desperately jealous. If I found another man making love to you, I'd run him through there and then.
Exactly.
How do you mean, exactly?
Oh, that is just what Vincent would do. And he's an excellent swordsman. I wouldn't wish you an early death, my friend.
But you are presupposing something that need not happen.
Am I?
Certainly, you're taking it for granted he'll find us together.
You're missing me, sir.
Really? How's that?
We've known each other 5 minutes. And already you are proposing a secret assignation.
Oh, you wrong me, I protest.
Perhaps I misunderstand.
Oh, surely, madame. I've never presumed to be so formal. But suppose, for example, when you leave here tonight, you inadvertently forget your fan.
Yes?
And suppose I were to find it and recognize it as yours. You follow me, I hope.
I have an idea I may be just a little ahead of you. But do go on.
And suppose tomorrow afternoon...
Well, my husband is away from home?
Oh, exactly. Suppose I were to do myself the honor of returning it. There'd be nothing wrong in that, would there? Nothing anyone could object to, I mean.
You are not only very persuasive, monsieur, but most resourceful. A quality gained from long experience, I've no doubt.
Madame, you do me wrong. You will remember, won't you?
Remember what?
To forget your fan, of course.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, please.
Well, perhaps. But I must warn you again. My husband...
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20,000 husbands.
Ah, you are a poet, too.
Oh, not I, madame. A certain Shakespeare. Slightly misquoted, I'm afraid, but speed on the hour. Speed on.
In the cold, clear light next morning, Tony's gallant certainty was replaced by grey doubt.
Oh, you know, Blakeney, I'm not at all sure I didn't make a considerable fool of myself last night.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Anyway, if you did, you were in good company.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, my dear fellow, men have been making fools of themselves out of beautiful women since the world began. Consider Adam, for instance.
Considering Adam isn't going to help the situation as far as I'm concerned.
I did warn you.
Oh, saying I told you so won't help either. What am I going to do, Blakeney?
Blakeney's an influential man. Man who has his finger on the pulse of political affairs. A man in close touch with those of the exclusive inner circle.
Yes, that's all very well.
His wife is a very beautiful young woman. You know that better than I do. And I dare say a very persuasive one, too. I'll wager Ewolat has a few secrets from her. There's little she doesn't know.
Oh, even.
This would be an extremely valuable contact.
Are you suggesting that I...
Yes.
Go on. I should worm information out of her by... By making love to her.
Yes, I suppose that is what I am suggesting, really.
Oh, Blakeney, you horrify me.
Do I?
Well, never dreamed you'd be a party to such a thing.
My dear fellow, I'm not being a party to
it. Well, you're suggesting it. It's your idea.
All's fair in love and war.
Oh, yes, but dash it all, Blakeney. You really are serious.
Well, of course. Tony never did tell me exactly what happened that afternoon, or certainly during the first part of it when he and the beautiful Cecile were alone. However, I understand that no more than a token coy resistance from the lady was given, when suddenly the door burst open.
So, this is what happens when I'm away from home.
Gaston!
Didn't expect me quite so soon, did you?
Believe me, sir, I assure
you. Who is this fellow? This snake in the grass, this reptile who comes creeping as soon as a man's back is turned.
Oh, please, Gaston.
You misjudge me, monsieur.
Oh.
Misjudge you, do I?
Yes, you do, grievously.
Perhaps my eyes were deceiving me. Perhaps I only imagined that a moment ago you were in each other's arms.
You don't understand.
Obviously not.
The fact is that I left my fan at the ball last night.
Yes.
The jeweled one you gave me for my last birthday. And Citizen Leblanc found it and recognized it.
Of course. This is the fellow you were dancing with last night, I remember now. Smirking and sneering at each other.
I never smirk, monsieur, nor do I simp.
Randy was kind enough to return it to me this afternoon.
And you were so relieved to recover it, I suppose, that you threw your arms around his neck and kissed him, huh?
Yes.
You expect me to believe that?
Well, it is true.
I give you my word.
You'll give me more than your word, Citizen Leblanc.
What do you mean?
You'll give me what every betrayed husband has a right to demand, sir. You'll give me satisfaction.
But
don't be so absurd,
Master. Is it absurd to expect...
Well, haven't you realized yet who this gentleman is?
What are you talking about?
That the firm was merely a convenient excuse.
I have already gathered that.
That he came here, in fact, this afternoon, hoping to meet you.
Me?
So that in future the two of you can work together to your mutual advantage.
What?
Is it true? Isn't it, Citizen Leblanc?
Why, yes, of course it is.
This is some kind of trick, Cecile.
Tell Vincent who you really are.
Will I? That is I.
Oh, never mind. I tell him. This gentleman is not, in fact, Citizen Leblanc at all.
What's that?
Indeed, I am not that person.
Then may I be permitted to know who you are, please?
Well, certainly, I... Will you see...
He is an English.
What? Well, look here.
In fact, with the organization called the League of the Scarlet and the Knight. And able and willing. At a price, of course. To betray its leader, the Pimpernel himself.
Is this true?
Of course it is true.
Hmm.
long different kettle of fish, as you English say. Me father be ignorance, I spoke in anger, monsieur. You'll forgive me, won't you? Monsieur, oh, by the way, what is your real name?
My name, Smith, William Smith.
Delighted to meet you, Monsieur Smith.
Oh, thank you very much.
You really think you can deliver the Pimpernel into my hands?
Well, he's a very slippery character.
Right, right. Still, it is possible?
I believe so.
Wonderful.
I knew you would be pleased, and so think what such a coup would mean to you. The prestige alone.
Yes, that. As you English would say, it would put Chauvelin's nose right out of joint. Would it not?
They might even make you a senior prosecutor.
They'd have to. Public opinion would demand it. But I can see even further than that, Sissy.
How much further?
I can see myself as deputy president of the Committee of Public Safety.
Higher even as Chauvelin himself, the second citizen of France.
Yes.
Oh, Vincent, Vincent, how wonderful.
Tell me, monsieur, have you any plans, any ideas?
Oh, no, 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 much too early yet. This was merely to be an exploratory meeting, or to learn if you were interested at all.
And to come to terms, I presume.
Well, naturally.
No doubt. How much?
Well, to deliver the Pimpernel into your hands, 10,000 francs.
You can't be serious.
It's worth it.
5,000.
10?
6? 7?
My price is 10,000 francs, monsieur.
Think what it means, Vincent.
You drive a hard bargain. But 10 it is.
Splendid.
When can we expect action?
Well, that depends. The Pimpernel's out of Paris at the moment, but he's expected back in a couple of days.
Oh.
As soon as he returns, we'll get down to details.
Excellent. You'll keep in touch?
I think for the sake of caution, it would be better if we weren't to meet till I have a definite plan.
Oh, perhaps you're right. Then I shall hear from you in due course.
Yes.
Good. And now, my dear fellow, if you'll be kind enough to excuse me, one of your matters to attend to in my study, you understand?
Oh, yes, of course.
Monsieur Smith may care for some refreshment, Cecile. A glass of wine, perhaps?
Yes, Vincent.
Au revoir, my friend.
Au revoir. Oh, that was a close call. Congratulations, madame.
Congratulations.
Well, for your quick thinking, you averted a very awkward situation.
Yes, I did, didn't I? Well,
that bit about me being an Englishman and in touch with the Scarlet Pimpernel was an invention of sheer genius. Of course, how am I going to explain to your husband...
I think, monsieur, that the time has come for us to understand each other completely.
But I'm sure
you
that...
You see, I happen to know that what I told my husband is true.
But what is it,
mother? I suspected that you were English last night.
Why?
Because you are obviously not German, and only the English and the Germans quote Shakespeare.
Yes, but look
and
here.
And I confirmed it today.
How?
By the way, you made love to me.
Well, this is ridiculous.
Oh, there is a difference in technique, monsieur. Subtle, perhaps, but a woman knows.
You are imagining all this.
Oh, no, 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 I'm not. And being English, monsieur, and being in Paris in disguise can mean only one thing. But you are a member of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Oh, really?
Cease your denials, my friend. I know. I warned you last night. My husband is one of the best swordsmen in Paris. That was no less than true. So if you've any wish to live, monsieur, you will do as you are told.
What do you mean?
No, I mean that you will deliver into our hands the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Now, Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I heard the whole delightful story of his meeting with Éolade from Tony the same evening.
And so, well, I've heard it is over. I seem to have got myself into a bit of a jam, don't I?
You certainly have.
Well, of course, the obvious thing is simply for citizen Pierre Lebas to disappear. I have to find some other sort of disguise for myself.
Oh, no, you won't.
No, but hang it all, Black.
If Éolade wants you to betray the Pimpernel, it would be rather a pity to disappoint him, don't you think?
You can't possibly
mean
that... Well, it'd be too dangerous. Éolade's no fool.
Neither is the lovely Cécile. In fact, they're both a lot cleverer than you've given them credit for.
How do you mean?
Of course, this whole thing was cooked up between them.
What? What?
Cecile, letting me make love to her, and then Ehrhulad catching us together?
Well, of course.
Robert, how? Well, it's obvious Cecile spotted who you were last night. She passed the word on to her husband, and they arranged to involve you today in compromising circumstances.
Well, to scare me into playing along with them.
Well, precisely.
Ah, you're only guessing.
It's as plain as a pikestaff. Suppose you were an outraged husband who came home unexpectedly and found your wife in another man's arms. Would you believe such a fantastic story as Cecile told?
Well, I don't suppose I would.
Of course you wouldn't. If my wife told me such a story, I'd divorce her for foolishness. Therefore, the whole thing has been prearranged.
I believe you're right.
Of course I am.
Oh, yes, but even so...
Well,
surely they don't imagine I'm such a poltroon that I'll betray you just to save my own skin.
Oh, there's a little matter of 10,000 francs, don't forget.
Yes, but dash it all. 10,000.
Tony, the whole political framework of France is built on bribery and corruption, and on the cynical belief that every man has his price. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, certainly.
And there's a firm belief. The English as a race are effete and decadent. That's true also, isn't it?
Yes.
And therefore it's reasonable for Ehrhulad to assume that as far as you're concerned, what cupidity doesn't achieve, fear will.
I see what you mean. Well, what do you think we should do, eh?
Citizen Ehrhulad is a very ambitious man.
Oh, very.
And ruthless in his ambition?
Well, entirely, I should think.
Such men are dangerous, Tony. I think it would be rather amusing, don't you, to take him down a peg or two, to kill his career before he becomes too powerful?
Oh, I think it would be very amusing, but how?
I don't quite know. But I'll think of something. Later that evening, as I lay awake in bed, I conceived a plan that pleased me very well. Among the early callers at the offices of the Committee of Public Safety next morning was a middle-aged provincial, a certain citizen Dubois.
One of them, citizen Chauvelin's secretaries. You wish to see him, I believe?
Oui, that is right, monsieur.
What is your business?
Oh, it is personal, as you might say.
I'm sorry. Unless you are prepared to state the exact nature of your business, there is no possibility of his seeing you at all.
It is about the taxes, monsieur.
But you mean to say you come all the way to Paris to protest about your tax?
Oh, no.
You're wasting your time. You'd better go away.
Oh, no, I am not here to protest, monsieur. What I say is that the taxes, they are fair, they are right.
Well, an unusual and a refreshing point of view, I must say.
But it is the creatures who evade paying the taxes I want to see citizen Chauvelin about. It is not right. No, it is not right. They should be paid, and people should be glad to pay them.
Do I understand you? Evidence of deliberate tax evasion?
Oui, monsieur.
Names and specific
evidence? Oui, monsieur.
In that case, citizen Chauvelin will see you, I believe. About 10 o'clock, Friday morning.
Friday morning? Oh, I had wanted to be back on my farm by Friday morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is the earliest possible
time.
Could
I not see him for a few minutes now?
He's not here?
This afternoon.
He has 3 meetings this afternoon.
Tomorrow morning?
He has business with the governor of Saint-Lazare jail tomorrow morning.
When his business is over?
He expects to be there from 9 to 12, and he's busy all the afternoon, too. It'll have to be Friday morning or not at all.
Oh, well, if that is how it to be, that is how it is to be, I suppose. What time shall I come?
10 o'clock, and see that you are not late.
I will be there, monsieur. Bonjour, monsieur.
I had learned all I wanted to. There remained a certain amount of minor forging to do. A letter from the governor of the jail to Chauvelin, stating there was considerable business to discuss, and asking if he would time his visit for 8:30 instead of 9. The letter was duly delivered, and the same evening, Tony presented himself before the Ehrhulad. When he returned later to headquarters, he was jubilant.
It worked like a charm, Blakeney. They swallowed the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker.
Good. What did you tell them?
Exactly what you'd suggested I should. I said you'd return to Paris sooner than expected on a mission to rescue a certain nobleman named the Marquis de la Tour from Saint-Lazare prison.
You told them about Chauvelin?
Yes, I said you'd learned that Chauvelin was to visit the prison tomorrow morning.
You explained how I'd found that out?
Yes. I said you disguised yourself as a provincial seeking an appointment with Chauvelin. And then I went on to tell them your plan was to get to the prison half an hour earlier than had been appointed, impersonating Chauvelin, of course, to send for the Marquise on the pretense of interrogating him, and then to smuggle him out somehow.
You've no doubt whatever they will add do accept the story.
Well, he was a bit noncommittal at first, if not actually suspicious. Then he wrote a couple of notes and sent two of his servants out with them. I stayed till they'd returned with the answers.
Who were they to?
One was to Chauvelin's secretary.
Ah.
He wrote back confirming that a provincial had, in fact, that morning made an appointment to see Chauvelin.
Good.
And the other was to the governor of the prison. He confirmed that he's expecting a visit from Chauvelin tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Couldn't be better. There is just one thing, though.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if any of this should get back to Chauvelin through the secretary or the jail governor, it'll give the game away.
Well, I don't think there's any danger of that.
You'll be sure?
Quite sure.
You see, being ambitious, Everard wants to collect the whole credit for this coup for himself.
And, of course, he's reasoned that if Chauvelin learned what was afoot, the whole thing would be taken out of his hands.
Exactly. So his notes to the secretary and the governor were models of discretion. They didn't give a single thing away.
Excellent. You know, Tony, I've an idea. I'm going to enjoy this.
You mean you're going to be there?
Oh, at a discreet distance, of course.
I wouldn't miss it for worlds.
And so, at 8:30 next morning, outside the gates of Saint-Lazare prison...
I beg to report, sir, that the men are under cover already.
Thank you, Sergeant. Do you know exactly what your orders are?
Yes, sir. When you all blow your whistle, we come out, we close in, and make the arrest.
That's the idea. Off you go now.
Certainly, sir.
You'd better get under cover too, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yes, it would not do to let him see me, would it?
I'll call you when I want you.
All right.
Hey,
I hear a carriage now. It's probably him.
Be back to pick me up at 12 sharp.
Very good, sir.
Good morning, Citizen Chauvelin.
Ah, what are you doing here, you lad?
Ah, so you know me, eh?
Well, of course I know you.
Rather earlier than you'd planned, aren't you, Citizen?
I had word from the governor, but...
But
what's all this about, anyhow?
So, you had word from the governor, eh? Very interesting.
Now, look here, Eulard.
Citizen Eulard from you.
What's that?
You heard what I said, you insolent dog.
What?
You are under arrest.
You must be crazy.
You've overplayed your hand, my friend. The game's up.
All right. All in, men. Are you ready for your muskets?
What's the meaning of all this? Take your hands off me. You pay dearly for this, every one of you. Don't you realize who I am?
Is this me?
Ah, there you are.
Is this the man?
Yes, it is. You definitely identify him as the Scarlet Pimpernel?
I do indeed.
Scarlet Pimpernel? You fool, Everard. You idiot.
Ah. Oh, perhaps that will teach you to keep a civil tongue, you English dog.
You'll be sorry for that. I'll break you for this. By heaven, I will.
Take him away.
You stupid nincompoop.
Take him away.
I'll break you, Everard. I'll break you. I'll break you.
Are you satisfied?
More than satisfied. Wait till Chauvelin hears about this. He'll be green with envy.
Well, I'm sure he will be. My 10,000 francs, if you please.
What's that?
We made a bargain.
Of course. Treachery has its price, has it not? 10,000 francs. Here you are, monsieur.
Returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
And you had to stand there meekly while he called you a traitor to your face.
No, I had to accept it. I couldn't even hit him.
Serves you right, my dear fellow.
Yes, Blakeney, but what about this 10,000 francs? I'm not going to spend that fellow's money, you know.
Particularly now that Ewald is certainly out of a job, and I imagine rather hard up.
Well, I'll put the money into the League's fund, shall I?
Debts of honor first, Tony. Debts of honor first.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, well... You never told me how far exactly you went for the lovely Cecile.
Well, not very far, I'm afraid.
How far?
Oh, a couple of kisses.
That makes 5,000 francs a kiss. An expensive lady.
You mean give her her husband's money?
Yes, Tony. Gentlemen always pay for their pleasures.
Mm-hmm. The Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, is produced by Harry Allen Towers.